Everyone, and welcome to our pre-combine edition of Scouting the League. If you haven't listened to our episode from 2 weeks ago with Blake Bedingfield, former college scouting director, I would encourage you run back in the episodes and do that when you get done listening to this one, of course. Great insight into the process. Again, all-star games to February meetings and now combine coming up next week. What teams are really digging into on some of these prospects? Today, we are going to get into the transfer portal with what I will call our transfer portal guru. We'll get to that in just a minute. First, let me remind you, like, subscribe, share wherever you are listening. Give us a five-star review. Repost it. Let your friends know. Again, you will be getting unique insight from people that have actually been in draft rooms. We don't say things and disagree just to get clicks or shock value. Again, this is from true Inside the League sources. Hey, Inside the League, that sounds pretty good. As always, joined by Neil Stratton of Inside the League. You can find all the information. Sign up for his Friday wrap newsletter. Get more information on what he does at InsideTheLeague.com. Of course, I'm Roderick David, scout, founder of Right Step Advising. Been in a number of draft rooms, interview prep, done a little bit of everything on the college side, pro scouting. You can find information about me at rsafootball.com. Today, we will be joined by Oscar Monier. Oscar has risen through the ranks over the last 5 years. You know, as we got ready for this podcast, I remember sitting down at the Combine in 2019 with Oscar and his fellow Northwestern Wildcat personnel assistant, Chris Haas. Chris is now Bowling Green, both guys doing great work. Since that time, Oscar has run the portal for Oregon. Northwestern, went back to Northwestern in 2019, then went to Oregon, was with Stanford, went to Duke, then went down south to Texas A&M. If he has worked the portal, you know he has worked extremely hard. And if he was at any of these schools, you know he has been extremely busy. So I am excited to welcome not only a colleague in the football world, but a friend as well. Oscar, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Roderick. Happy to be here.
It's been a minute, you know, it's good to connect. Tell us, obviously, so, you know, a lot has happened in the, the last 5 years since that 2019 draft when we were together. Kind of tell us what your timeline was, where you went and where.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I have a kind of classic story for someone who started working in college football around when I did. Right. So a bunch of things were starting to burgeon, you know, beyond just the portal. Got a great start at Northwestern, was very blessed to start there. And then I kind of very quickly got to see a lot of the realities of the world of college football. You know, worked at a bunch of different places, SEC, out West, Midwest, a little bit of everything. And, you know, with the nature of both the coaching carousel, you know, bringing me a few different places in quick order, and the way roster management's working these days, got to see a little bit of everything. And I'm excited, you know. Looking to see what's next for me, hoping to help maybe wrangle and fix some of the things that we're going to talk about today. But happy to share my experience from all these places and kind of shed some light on the realities of the portal nowadays.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I fully credit you with, again, helping Oregon get turned around. Again, you had to have been the main hand in Duke being as good as they were this year. Again, as soon as you leave these schools, it's nothing but downhill, I'm sure. So we got to make sure Oscar gets his credit where credit is due. Right, Neil?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, correlation does not necessarily mean causation, but I think in this case, it probably does.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, Neil, you're going to have Oscar up at the Combine with you next week, right?
Yeah, just as a little recap, next week, Wednesday and Thursday, the 28th and 29th are the two biggest days of the year for me and for the ITL family. On the 20th, of course, it's the week of the NFL Combine, which is a big week in its own right. But on the 28th, we will have our annual ITL Combine seminar. This year is presented by USI Insurance Services and the Tadnet Group. And it's going to be exciting. It's kind of become the Oscars for the scouting industry. We will hand out more than 30 awards. This year, we'll also recognize the Pro Liaison of the Year, as well as the Strength Coach of the Year, as voted on by the NFL scouting industry. We'll also have the Cito Brocato Award, which has become maybe the most fun award of all for me to hand out, because it goes to a scout who's been serving for a long time, kind of in the shadows, kind of in silence. He never attained GM, but has done a lot of great work. We've had some really awesome winners so far. This will be our, I think, sixth edition of that. And then we also have the Eugene E. Parker Award, which is another kind of lifetime achievement award for an agent who is either in the late stages of his career or is fully retired. And so we'll hand all those out. It's a very fast hour. We start at 6:30. We go till 7:30. Everyone's got to get out of there so they can continue interviews with players and what have you. And so we'll get that going. And then once that's over, then we'll get some sleep and then come back Thursday morning. And we've got Oscar, and it's going to be our second annual symposium. It's going to be really exciting because Oscar's going to come in and talk about where we are in the industry. And I don't think anyone is as well positioned to talk about this as Oscar is. And last year, when we kind of started all this, we had in, I believe, six members of collectives around the nation. And it was, and you were there, Roderick, it was a very, very interesting hour and a half.
It was.
And, you know, we close the doors. We don't have media there. We don't record anything. We kind of scouts on it that no one comes in there and records what we're doing, because we want to have a very frank and transparent discussion about exactly where the industry is. And more importantly, how the ITO family can profit from it. And I don't mean that to sound unethical or immoral, but you know, we're not out to break any laws. And I think we've emphasized that quite often, but at the same time, it's very important to have an edge in this industry. It's a very competitive space. And at Inside the League, we're all about helping our people win. That's why my blog is called Succeed in Football. So Oscar's going to be up there for about an hour answering questions. I'll be up there with him and kind of asking the questions. And then we'll take more questions for about a half hour, and then we'll get out of there. And if you are interested in joining us and you're going to be in town, it's $100 per head, or $400 is an agency fee, maximum eight attendees from that agency. So it's going to be a very exciting, very fast 2 days. I'm about as stressed and terrified as I possibly can. I tend to get this way in the pregame situation. You would never have liked me during my playing days. I was a bear to get along with those last 2-3 hours before the game started. But that's my kind of I'm used to it, and my wife's used to it. My kids are used to it. It is what it is. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very in-depth, and it's going to be very insightful. And I've probably learned more about the portal in the last 2 weeks as Oscar and I have kind of discussed what we're going to discuss and how we're going to do this than I have maybe in the last 2-3 years or whatever that's been around. And that's why, you know, I think it's great to have these things for the ITL family, but I think I'm probably the one that enjoys it the most because I get to go up there and ask my own questions. So it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great 2 days. Looking forward to it. It's going to be great getting some sleep after it's all over with as well. But, you know, it's go time, and we're going to make the most of it for that 48 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun. I would highly encourage anybody that's going to be in Indy for those couple days, stop by. Again, say hi to Neil. Say hi to Oscar. Say hi to any number of NFL agents, scouts. Again, a great spot to rub elbows and do some networking. So let's jump into it. Again, Oscar, you've run the portal. Neil, you've got the questions. What's the first one? Again, there's a lot of different ways you can, again, attack portal questions. What's the first question that, you know, we're going to hit it off with?
Well, if you read the Friday Wrap, and that's the newsletter that we put out every Friday, then, you know, especially last week, we talked kind of about what the subject matter is going to be. And it's going to be every end of the portal, obviously, and especially as it relates to NFL agencies. I think there's a real opportunity that a lot of agencies are missing with regard to the portal. I think a lot of people kind of see it as a fad. Maybe some are kind of like, you know what, maybe we help a kid go through this, you know, and we have a handshake agreement that he signs with us after this is all said and done, he's ready to go to the league. That doesn't always happen, though. And so I think it's important to talk about kind of how, again, NFL agents can benefit from this and really take advantage of this opportunity. Oscar, what's the biggest change you've seen in the portal? You've been doing this probably as long as anyone. It's a rather new field. What's the biggest change you've seen in the transfer portal in the last 4 to 5 years that you've been working on it exclusively?
Shoot, can I say everything? it really doesn't resemble at all what it was at the beginning. I'd say the best way to put it is, you know, it's gone from being a novelty to a necessity. So, you know, when it first opened up, it was this new thing. And not to say players weren't going in, but there wasn't nearly the volume or quality of player that there is today. And a lot of teams weren't engaging in it in any like serious organized way. So at the beginning, it was almost this beautiful land where you could just open up your computer and go on a website and be like, hey, we need help at these positions. Let's see who's available. And there wouldn't be a ton of options, but there also wouldn't be a ton of competition. And, you know, if you played your cards right, or if you had something that made your school unique, because you have to keep in mind that at the front end of this was before the NIL era, right? It was right before that. So there was this little window where there wasn't money in play the way it is today, but the portal existed. And, you know, there were teams having success with it, but no one was shaping their roster based on it. No one was relying on it. It was more a complementary piece. And nowadays, you know, there are schools who can afford to engage in it less based on, you know, a variety of factors. There's schools that are going to retain their players better, et cetera. But you have to play the game nowadays. There's too much overturn. There's too much opportunity. I mean, think about it from an NFL versus college perspective, going back even just a few years. You know, if you had a few bad recruiting classes in a row at a position, you used to just not be very good at that position for a few years, right? And there was no getting around that for the most part. And nowadays, it's something that you can fix in 48, 72 hours.
Yeah.
You know, have the kid come on a visit, you know, close on them, and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter that you missed at linebacker 2 years in a row. You have a starting linebacker for next season, right? Maybe for the next two or three seasons, depending on how much eligibility he has left. So obviously, that's extremely powerful, right?
Yeah.
And it took a minute, but everyone realizes that now.
Yeah.
And so we've reached a point, and NIL is going to play into this too, of course, where everybody there is. When a high caliber player goes into the portal, the list of schools who would not benefit from signing him is extremely small,
mm-hmm.
right? There will be specific people in specific situations. And then of course, money is going to come into play here too, where it just doesn't make sense. But for the most part, it's like, yeah, why wouldn't we want this guy on our team? Right. Like I said, in terms of planning for it back in the day, you know, you wouldn't even consider holding back spots for high school kids. And being like, no, these are portal spots. Now, if you're not doing that, you can't even engage in the portal effectively. You know, back in the day, the portal was something that came up when it was open, right? Or when it came up. If for the past couple of years, if at any point a coach had come up to me and asked me about the portal at any time throughout the entire calendar, and I wasn't in some way prepared to talk about it intelligently, that'd be me not doing my job, right? So, you know, the portal's been a through line with the way college football works. We all have a bunch of different responsibilities. But in the past couple of years, I'd say it's become a thing where you always have to be ready, because something that we've been able to do is figure out who's going to go in, right? It's actually not that complicated. You're not going to have an 100% hit rate, but you can create the pool of players who are going to most likely go into the portal. And again, given the demand, given the need, and given the speed with which this stuff works, it is an advantage to have a kid go in and you're like, hey, we already know how much we like him. We know exactly where he slots in, and we're ready to pursue him or not. That makes a huge difference. You know, I can think of examples from this December where, you know, maybe you hear a kid's going in the portal, right? Or he'll report it himself, but the rule is we're not allowed to officially contact them until you actually see their name in there, right? Just for right. Anyone listening who doesn't understand exactly how it works.
Yeah.
And so there are times where if it's a high priority kid, I'm sitting at my laptop and I've set up a little thing that auto refreshes the portal and you're just sitting there waiting. And I've seen a kid go in and you call him and look, there was a kid I called, he must've been in for 2.5, 3 minutes. I was the second phone call, right? And if I had been the fourth, probably don't even get the kid on campus.
Yeah.
So it's an absolute rat race. And it's a world where, you know, coaches and personnel staffs are organized in different ways and to different degrees. And this is the first time I've seen something kind of evolved to the point where even the most organized staffs I've been on, you can only be so organized in your pursuit of it because of the timing element.
Yep.
So coaches just giving the blessing of, hey, like, you have to offer the kid. Yep. You have to get him. I don't care that I haven't seen him. I don't, you know, we'll figure that out after. Because if we don't do it immediately, it's literally not going to happen.
Yeah, no chance.
So I'd say that's the biggest thing. It's just, it's become a rat race. And you either play a game or you lose. And there's a very short list of schools who can maybe afford to not play the game. And even they're being forced to play it more than they'd like to, probably.
Yeah.
All right, so Oscar, when I first met you, and Roderick alluded to this, it was you and Haas coming down to Fort Worth for the College Gridiron Showcase. I think that was 19 or 20. I'm not sure what year that was.
Right, it was 19, there. Yep.
19. Okay. And you guys were on the path to be scouts. I mean, obviously, the NU family has been incredible as far as
placing
scouts in the league.
Yep.
And they're everywhere. And I mean, I think they're probably the leading name in the scouting industry. When you were kind of moved over to the portal and maybe your main focus was no longer personnel and evaluation per se, what was your reaction? Did you fight that, or is that something you really embraced?
So it's funny because kind of like what I was alluding to, when it first started, it really wasn't taking me away from anything else. So like, I think this will kind of help illustrate how it's changed too. At the beginning, the portal was something I'd check. We would have like a daily meeting, like a daily personnel meeting. And about an hour before it, I would just open up the portal, see who had gotten in. Normally wasn't a bunch of kids. Normally wasn't anyone interesting. If there was someone interesting, I'd watch them real quick and be ready to just bring them up at the meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, at the beginning, it wasn't really taking me away from much. It was just like a nice little cherry on top. I was happy. You know, you always want to accumulate responsibility, especially early in your career. And I was happy to have this new thing. I'm not going to pretend that I knew what it was going to become, right? And I'm actually really grateful for that, because that's been a through line in my career as it's continued to grow in importance. But at the beginning, that's all it was. To, you know, the past couple seasons, if I'm not immediately helping someone else with personnel stuff, and like you said, you know, like my pipeline, the way we were organized at the last two schools for high school kids was significantly smaller than the other people on the personnel staff. Because I was watching, you know, who knows how many college kids every day getting organized. And it doesn't matter, like I said, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. So initially very excited. And then honestly, as it continued to grow, and as someone, you know, who at one point did want to be a scout, I loved it, right? High school film's cool. High school film's fun. But college film is just infinitely better in a lot of ways, you know, for us football junkies. And, you know, it actually ended up tying into getting to do advanced scouting stuff at one spot, you know, helping inform the game plan and all of that. And, you know, that's something I never would have been able to do without that portal expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's something that I'm really grateful it happened. At the beginning, I didn't really understand what was happening. I don't think the guy who assigned it to me really understood what he was doing either. You know, looking back, I was fresh out of college, and, you know, I'd been working in football as a student intern, but, you know, I don't think nowadays that anyone would hand over the portal to someone like that. And I think that kind of illustrates what's happened.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt about it. You know, Oscar, I have done a couple of blog pieces, and the tenor of them was what I was hearing from people is, you know, all this money is coming into the portal and NIL and what have you, and all these collectors are building war chests. But now that collectors can't be 501c3, and for a number of other reasons, there's going to be donor fatigue and the money's going to go away. Would you agree with that?
So there's going to be donor fatigue if you lose.
There we go. Money's always there when you're winning, right?
That's the great anxiety. I mean, I think we've seen it's twofold, right? There's the majority of this money comes from, right, when we think about traditional boosters, you know, alumni who are very wealthy are making the bulk of these donations. But like, I've started to see people, you know, their wife says, hey, what do you want for your birthday? And they say, you know, I don't want a nice bottle of whiskey. I don't want a new set of tools. I want you to donate $150 to the collective. Like,
Wow.
Let's go win some football games. And you know, and that is a part that's still developing. But the reality is it's the fans determine, and I'm including the boosters in this, how much money each school has to spend. And we've reached a point where, you know, there's schools and there's places that are more willing to engage in this than others. And if you get left behind in this regard, like, you're just going to have a competitive disadvantage. And I think what we are seeing right now is with the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams, this is a big deal. With it expanding to 12 teams, a lot of people are viewing this as a time to push the chips in. That's how they're thinking about it, right? We can make the playoff. You know, a lot of this industry is about, and recruiting in general, is about momentum and perception. And if you can make the playoff, it's easier than ever to make the playoff this year, right? That is great momentum for this next era of college football, and hopefully something you can continue to build on. And so I think some people are under the impression that it's a big push and then the money is going to pull back. The reality is, I don't know why or how the money would pull back. The same way I described the portal as a rat race in general, pulling back will be conceding. And there's going to be new ways, you know, to find this money. I think we can talk about this at some point. We're going to reach a point where this money isn't exclusively coming from fans. And so the fatigue is going to come when you lose, you know, and that's going to be scary. And you're going to see coaches end up on the hot seat because that well is drying up, which is going to be new, right? You know, perception always mattered. Like I said, perception matters in recruiting, but it's going to go from, okay, recruits aren't really vibing with this coaching staff, that's a problem, to fans or donors are not, to an extent where it's hurting the football team and it's hurting the product on the field. So I think it's a complicated question. I'm sure there are going to be places that run out of resources. There are going to be places where the cup never runs empty. But I don't necessarily think that this is something that's going away in any regard. If anything, it's going to continue to expand, because I think money is going to start coming from other places as well.
I think what I have gathered from people that I've talked to is that the race is on now to create more resources that don't come from alumni. And I think that probably manifests itself in things like, you know, for those of you who've seen the Hard Knocks in season Dolphins series this year. I mean, I think we're going to see more and more of that. I think there's going to be more and more, TV influences, I guess, for lack of a better term, on teams. And there's going to be a lot more exposure because you can make money that way. And I think, you know, if you want to keep stock in your roster, you better have that money. And so they're going to have to come up with ways to be a little bit more capitalist, I guess, when it comes to this thing. And normally that's kind of how that, again, that's how that takes shape.
Yeah,
I guess we'll see.
It goes back again, Neil, goes back to that conversation we had with James Kirkland, who's with the NCAA now, when we hit it directly. Again, money drives it, right? Again, as Oscar said it, again, the money runs out when people get frustrated. But again, a fresh recruiting class, a new head coach, or again, a glimpse of success is going to open those coffers again. And again, when the fans who are diehard, passionate, want to win, again, it's amazing what people are willing to spend money on. And again, we've only kind of alluded to the fact that money's, again, playing a factor in growing, as Oscar said, growing in significance. But again, the money, yeah, crazy that the money would drive something like that, right?
You know, and that's the thing about it too. And I call it the Christmas tree effect, Roderick. I mean, everyone wants is, you know, maybe that next head coach you hire is Sean McVay. You know, maybe that next coach you hire is Sean Payton. Now, maybe he's not. Maybe he's a bum, but it's the excitement of
the
wrapped present, you know?
Yep.
And that's why I think, you know, I guess we had two or maybe three coaches that made one that were fired after 1 year this past season, something like that. And that's going to come more and more commonplace, I think, as people want to spark that, especially spark those, get those money presses going again. And that's one easy way to do it, especially if you wanted to buy out a coach that still owed $78 million or whatever it was for at Texas A&M at Oscar's former place of employment. Okay, so Oscar, what do you hear from your peers who work in the portal? Is burnout kind of becoming a common theme? I mean, we're seeing obviously head coaches leave for assistant jobs because they don't want to deal with it anymore. Are you seeing it at your level as well?
Yeah, you know, I would be envious, I'm not going to lie, to have dealt with it to the extent that the coaches deal with it, right? You know, it is my job and people like me's job to do a lot of the work on the front end and shield them from some of it. Yeah, I mean, you know, and this is a trend in general in people who work in personnel and college football. The schedule is just not, I mean, saying it's not favorable is being generous, right? The way the portal is structured, the timing of it, and how long it lasts, you basically cannot, you are operating in the portal at the same time as players can leave, right? So this is something that, you know, we can talk about a bit more if we want to talk about solutions. But the problem is, so one day I come into work and I'm like, okay, like we needed two receivers this cycle. We already have one in the boat, which, by the way, doesn't mean anything. We can talk about that too. We have one in the boat. Okay, we need one more. We've got two kids visiting this weekend. We feel good about getting one of them. We're in a great spot. You come into work that morning. Let's say there's a week left in the portal. There's rumblings that two of your guys might transfer. You don't know if both will, one will, neither will. All of a sudden, you know, there's this whole brand new need that's opened up. And kind of like I was saying, even I've been really fortunate to work with some really well-organized staffs with coaches who trust the personnel department to do their job, which is the most important part in letting us actually do our job well. And even then, you know, you just get, and I've, you know, we call it whiplash when a coach tells you one thing and then 6 hours later or a day later tells you another. And it's like, well, shoot, you know, I was trying to do my job. I was doing what you told me to, and now it's something different. And that's something that you can normally avoid by being well organized. And there's just no avoiding it with the portal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, between that and the element I was talking about of, you know, if you're 5 minutes late, like that's too late. Like I'm talking like getting anxiety when you go to take a pee break, right? Like seriously. You know, just, I remember when I got to A&M, it was literally, you know, my flight was designed so, you know, I wouldn't miss anything in the portal, right? Like literally, you just can't, you can't miss anything. And everything's moving a million miles an hour, and it, you know, it puts a strain on, you know, I always took pride in, you know, the way I communicated with coaches and kept stuff, a steady stream of information to them. But, you know, all of a sudden it's impossible. All of a sudden, four corners that are worth investigating all into the portal in 5 minutes, and you're trying to talk to them, and you're trying to get the position coach on the phone, and you're trying to get the D coordinator on the phone, and meanwhile all of a sudden the tight ends coach is banging on your door because the guy who said he was committed and coming is all of a sudden on a visit somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it just creates this window that's just impossible to manage the way we would like to manage it. And like the people who work in football, for the most part, we are perfectionists, or at least take pride in doing our work the best way possible. Mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating to have, you know, kind of my Super Bowl in terms of the calendar be something that's impossible to do to the standard that you would do anything else. Mm-hmm. Purely because of these reasons. And then, you know, the year-long element of it, it's not as intense the rest of the year, but it's really evolved into a beast. And I know some people, I've been fortunate in recent years to where people have recognized that the portal is a full-time job. And I've, you know, everyone has other responsibilities, but my responsibilities were carved out in a way that made sense, that allowed me to do that well. There are still people and places that view the portal as an accessory, and it's just being tacked on to somebody's already very difficult schedule. And that's not feasible. And I've been lucky that I haven't had to deal with that, but I know there are people who have. And that's a doubly a problem because that means you're also dealing with the staff who doesn't understand the importance of the portal. So it's definitely tough between the calendar, and the sheer chaos of it, I would say it's definitely something that's putting a lot of stress on a lot of people. And I don't think it needs to be this way, you know, in order for it to be something that benefits players and teams alike.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oscar, to properly handle the portal, to really be staffed the way you needed to, if you had, you know, in a perfect world, if you're at a school and you're handling the volume that the modern portal person handles, how many people do you need to really do that?
I would say, so you need one full-time person whose job is the portal, and that they need to really be dedicated to it. But I never felt like we needed another full-time person at any of my other places. The thing you absolutely need, though, is that when it's portal time for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So the people who are focused on high school recruiting, the recruiting communications guys, like all of that, everyone needs to be all hands on deck. And, you know, at that point, the onus is kind of on the person running it to distribute responsibilities, you know, to get support in the way they need it. You could, in theory, maybe split it O&D the way a lot of places have high school recruiting. Mm-hmm. I think there'd be benefits to that. The beauty of having one person run it, though, is that, you know, context is king with a lot of this stuff, right? Especially when it comes to evaluation. And, you know, as we talk about NIL, and all of a sudden you have a coach saying, you know, this kid wants X from the collective, this kid wants Y from the collective, and, you know, you're comparing apples and oranges, it's tough to have it be split in any way. Because ideally you'd have one person who understands the whole landscape and like, okay, this is what tight end looks like, this is what linebacker looks like. All of a sudden, you know, you have the defensive guy campaigning for the defensive player and the offensive guy campaigning for the offensive player, right? Because they want to make their coaches on the side of the ball happy. And I think you end up with politics involved, which is something you want to avoid as much as possible in college football and in any job, really.
Sure.
So I would say, you know, you need a robust – nowadays, if you don't have a robust staff, recruiting staff in general, you're in trouble. I'd say one person full-time dedicated is enough, as long as everybody else really gets in line and, you know, for that month, month and a half, every cycle, you know, really just falls into line and helps. You can't have one person doing this alone, though. It just won't work.
Mm-hmm. No, Oscar, you say month to month and a half portal cycle. It's got to be longer than that, doesn't it? Again, you start if a coach gets fired, that opens up the 30-day window, if I'm correct.
Right.
Well, you have, again, college coaches starting to get fired, say, maybe the first week of November, school's ready to move on. Now you've got post All-Star game coaches just leaving for different jobs. So that gets into, so you've got November, you've got December. Again, let's take it into January. You've got coaches off of national championship teams leaving for NFL jobs. Portal opens then. You've got, you know, Boston College coach all of a sudden leaves for an NFL job in February. So that's February. Right. So you're up to 4 months now. The portal, I believe there's a portal window at the end of spring practice that is going to open up for some teams, if I'm correct. So you're adding another month. So all of a sudden you're talking now 5 to 6 months of the portal window being open. I mean, for NFL scouts, the 3 to 3.5 month fall schedule, the fall sprint, if you are an area, national, regional scout, that is a sprint. But then come about December 10th, you take a huge breath and then get about, you know, a month off until you start ramping it up a little bit for All-Star games. Again, if you're talking about, you know, the nervous bathroom break, you're talking 6 months of nervous bathroom breaks. Again, how is it even possible? How is it even feasible that one person, one full-time person could take that? And knowing that, again, at any point you could have, you know, the portal red hot, or again, even red hot at one position.
Right. So when I was saying a month and a half, A, I was being a little generous. B, you know, those early windows, like you're talking about in November, it does start to ramp up, right? And you start to see more and more kids go in, and FCS kids go in as schools close. But even then, I mean, the volume, like I've seen the way the volume works. That is still something that can be managed. Like I said, if it's your only job for the most part, that is something that can still be managed by one person, right? Because, you know, I know you guys know we don't work in 9 to 5. So, you know, it's one of those things where, and you better be on it all the time. Like, there are no chill days, right? You can still, I think, conceivably handle November with one person. I think you can handle what's happening right now with one person. It's that window when it officially opens, right? When it's not just for grad transfers, when it's not just for kids at schools where their coach got fired or left. That is when, I mean, you just see a volume that's just like borderline inconceivable.
So
we're talking thousands and thousands of kids. I mean, this year, the first official day, I think it was 2,000 kids on the first day.
Insane. So the true volume of the transfer portal where you would need that month to month and a half that's opening up. And is that basically December to mid-January-ish?
Yeah, so FCS schools is like a week earlier.
Okay, yep, that's right.
So, well, in theory it is, because if you're a grad transfer, you can leave and they're done earlier. So it's like the last week of November through January, and even, I mean, through early January, there's those schools that make the playoff, and obviously that's going to be a bigger group of schools now. That's going to be another thing that impacts people who are in the industry, right, where you're going to have 12 schools now who have their portal cycle extended. But it's just created this world where it's just too much all at once. And, you know, part of me wants to say, just shorten it, make it worse, but shorten it, right?
Yeah.
So create a world where, and once you're in, right? You know, the goal of this proposal is not to limit player movement. I know what happens in December. There's plenty of kids who don't get in right away for good reason. You know, they want to make it work and it just doesn't, or, you know, obviously seeing who the school brings in, it's new information. But if there was a shorter window to put your name in, that would help everybody so much. That would avoid the situation I was talking about where all of a sudden you think you need one receiver.
Yeah.
And ta-da, there's 3 days left in the cycle and you need three.
Yeah.
Right. So if everyone got in a more condensed timeline, and then, you know, that would be a heck of a week for people who were in my position. But at least then you know what the pool is, right?
Exactly.
And then you can still have visits extend beyond that. You know, people don't have to make decisions right away. But if the pool was solidified and who you were losing or who you could potentially lose, because kids can always come back, right?
Yep.
Was if both of those things were solidified, I think we could fix a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Oscar, we've already alluded to the fact you start off in Northwestern. I think it's, in many ways, when Fitz was there, and not to say that it's not now, but when Fitz was there, it was a pretty exemplary program. I think y'all did more with less than maybe any other major P5 school did.
Without question.
And I think it's borne out by the number of scouts that have come out of there and a number of other things. I've never heard anything but good things about Fitz as far as his engagement with everyone in the program, his interest in helping y'all get better no matter what you were doing, and his willingness to listen to ideas from outside the program. He was not at all territorial about those kind of things. How has it benefited you? And do you think you would have seen the same opportunities if you didn't have that pedigree as coming out of Northwestern?
It is very hard to envision a version of my career that didn't start there, right? So it was kind of a perfect situation where it was right when, and this is pre-portal era, but this was right when like personnel departments were becoming, you can't have one guy, right? Mm-hmm. You need an actual team. And I think that's something that they were starting to realize. And I was a eager freshman who knew he wanted to work in football and didn't know much else. And, you know, at a school like Northwestern, you don't necessarily have a lot of kids who want to do something like that. So, you know, they jumped at the opportunity and I jumped at the opportunity to help and be useful and learn. You know, I think Coach Fitz knew my name on the second day.
Wow.
You know, like really caught me off guard and walking down the hallway, he says, "Hey, Oscar." And I'm like, you know, like you know, there's a process that happens when you work in sports where, you know, you kind of celebrities or stars or idols, you know, stop phasing you. But this was like right at the beginning for me, right? Like literally just a kid. And I'm like, I don't even remember what I responded. It probably wasn't very smooth. But, you know, he immediately recognized the importance of, you know, what was happening and what was changing. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, they made the Big Ten championship in the COVID year was in large part because of, you know, respecting the power of the portal, right? We had just lost a quarterback to the draft. We just lost a series of tight ends, you know, over the course of multiple years to the draft. And this was right. This was early days, and we added, you know, a Big Ten starting quarterback and Peyton Ramsey. And we added a tight end from Florida Atlantic and John Rain, who, you know, was a good player. And, you know, the only reason he wasn't a starter at Florida Atlantic was because the guy above him was a day two pick, I believe. So just like that. And this was right when everything started, right? And so, you know, I know when you think of Big Ten schools and when you think of a coach like Coach Fitz, you think, you know, very traditional, very resistant to change. But, you know, that was never really the case. And then, you know, the other thing he said often that I think, you know, I tried to carry with me everywhere I went, because it's very easy, especially when you change schools a lot. You know, you're going to work with different people with different values, and it can be hard to keep a North Star. But he always said, if you're in this building, I trust you. And you need to operate like that, right? It's really hard to do your job well in this industry if you don't feel trusted. Yep. You don't feel empowered to share opinions. He said, I trust you. And he says, and if I don't trust you, you'll know, because you won't be here.
Yep.
Which, you know, that I think that was a big thing for me, being someone who didn't really have a football background, you know, and you're seeing more and more of that in the industry. But I remember when I started, I was the only dude in the room who didn't play college football. And, you know, there's certainly a certain level of like imposter syndrome to that at the beginning. And, you know, he was a huge part of getting over that. And, you know, that mantra of just trusting your, I mean, it was the team mantra the entire time he was there. It was just trust yourself. It was the sign you hit before practice. It was the sign you hit before the games. And I think, you know, having confidence in us, and also just having confidence in, like you said, these changes in college football as they develop, and, you know, viewing everything as an opportunity rather than lamenting the change, right? Because we can all lament the change, you know, whether we think it's good or bad, or if it adds 5 hours to our work week or whatever it is. At the end of the day, it's an opportunity, and you're either going to take advantage of it or someone else's. No, absolutely. He was formative in that place. You know, like you said, so many scouts have come out of it. So many people, you know, touching football in different ways have come out of that place. And, you know, it honestly, as someone who was there, is not a great mystery to me. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Used to be one of the favorite visits. I know, not only of myself, but again, scouts across the country. And I'm sure it has stayed that way, even with some of the changes there. Not only was it a gorgeous view there when you're going out to a nice fall practice, but again, the people in the building made it a fantastic visit. Coach Fitz, again, when he was there, again, Cody, Oscar, again, anybody that's gone through there was always fantastic, fantastic to scouts. Plus, you know, they've had some good players. He didn't even mention maybe the best player on that roster that chose to opt out that year. And Rayshon was, again, I think he went, what, number 10 or 12, and, again, chose to opt out that year with COVID questions. And, again, John Rain, a guy I loved when I was scouting there. So, yeah, it was a really special, special true Northwestern team that year that was going to play exactly Northwestern football, which, again, credit to that place.
Yeah, I'm excited about what we're going to talk about, and we haven't even scratched the surface here. There are so many aspects of the portal as it relates, especially to player representation and what have you, which is kind of our space that we can talk about. I don't know. It may not be easy to keep it to an hour and a half. I mean, I tend to get wound up in these things. And, so Oscar and I will be kind of sitting down over the next probably 72 hours, really map out exactly where we're going to go and talk about how, again, people in the ITL family can kind of take advantage of this situation, not in an unethical way, not in an immoral way, but take advantage of where we are in the game and help as many people as possible. I think at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. If you are looking to come and join us, we'd love to have you. Although I'm not going to be really honest, we've only got about half of our capacity left. It's filling up pretty fast. And I don't mean to sound like some kind of P.T. Barnum guy, get the rubes in a tent. It really is happening. If you want to register, you're welcome to. If you go to, we'll have all the information in the Friday wrap, which comes out as always 7:30 Eastern on Friday evening. If you want to, if you already have a copy of last week's Friday wrap, we went into some detail on kind of what we're going to be talking about. And obviously we've got the registration link there as well. We're going to start our billing cycle soon, probably in the next 24 hours or less. So if you're interested, get in there. If you have questions about this and you haven't had a chance to register yet and you need that link, as always, DMs are open at Inside the League on Twitter at, or I guess I'll call it X. I guess I got to make that change. And I'm pretty easy to find too for people in the industry. So we'd love to have as many people as possible. We're going to be talking about some really insightful things. I can't wait till Osprey tells the DJ Lagway story, which is just about as emblematic as of how the portal can be weaponized these days as any story I can think of, and was fascinating to me. But so many other aspects of this are just really, truly interesting, and it's going to be total immersion in the portal that for that hour and a half in room 103 of the Indiana Convention Center next week. So really looking forward to it, and can't wait to you know, just see what all we talk about and also what questions we get from the audience, because I'm sure there are going to be some really good ones.
Yeah. Again, the portal, again, it'll be, it's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be even more insight. You know, Oscar, as you take your next step, it's going to be, again, what the experience that you've gained in 5 years. Again, we kind of laughed about it before the podcast started. 5 places in 5 years and 5 places. Again, Oregon football is, again, going to be what, a top five ranked team. Again, Dan Lanning has that thing rolling. Again, Coach Elko heading down to A&M. That program, there's no reason they shouldn't get back to success. Northwestern's always going to be Northwestern. Duke is, again, kind of a Northwestern-ish. Duke is always going to be Duke. Stanford, again, always going to be Stanford. Again, the things that you have learned, seen, I guess it's going to set you up for, again, whatever you choose to do next. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to have you back again. Appreciate you being on here. If people want to hit you up on X, on Twitter, at Monier_Oscar, is that where they can find you?
Absolutely. Yep. Just shoot me a message if you have any questions. You know, I'm happy to talk, and it was great being on here, and you obviously love talking ball, and you know, hope we can do something fun like this again.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, for all of us, again, it all comes back to football, right? Again, there is the work part of work, right? Again, your evaluations, your reports, you're putting schedules together. But again, the end of the day, it always comes back to building a team, building a roster, managing it, and trying to win that big trophy at the end of the year. Of course, Oscar's at Monier Oscar, Monier_Oscar. Again, Neil is at Inside the League on X. I'm at Right Step ADV on Twitter. There we go, at Right Step ADV. As always, if you haven't had a chance, go check out Neil's website at InsideTheLeague.com. I'm at RSAFootball.com. If you are an agent out there listening and you need to run your agency more efficiently, make sure you head over and check out AgentLive360.com. I will give you a demo of that CRM. Keep track of everything for your agency that you need to keep track of. Expenses, phone numbers, who you're tracking, who your other agents are tracking, and agentlive360.com. I'll do a demo. We'll talk some football as well when we hop on there. Again, agentlive360.com. Again, as you guys head out to Indy, have fun. I will be sitting here at home, you know, wishing I was there, wishing I was rubbing elbow, was getting to sit down and listen to Oscar. But again, I am sure we'll have him back again. So both you guys, enjoy Indy. For everybody out there, if you're heading to Indy, make sure you stop by, make sure you get into the ITL seminar, just be around, try to find Neil, find Oscar, and, you know, find football. Every prospect at the combine is going to have different questions to answer. Again, it's not a one size fits all. It on-field matters, the train station interviews, formal interviews, every different piece is going to matter. So for all the scouts that are going to be there, for all the agents, and for all the fans, when you head to the combine, keep scouting.